daf is Menachos Daf Tzadi Vav. Today's shir is sponsored by Zuchus Rafua Shalema for Aliza Rachel Bas Shendel Perel, who is having an operation today. She should have a Rafua Shalema B'soch Shar Chola Yisrael. So we are holding on the bottom of Daf Tzadi Heyam Beis. Not quite at the bottom, about 3-4 lines before the lines get wide on Daf Tzadi Heyam Beis. And the first thing we're going to discuss, we're going to have machlokas whether the Lechem HaPanim becomes Kadosh when it's baking or when it's first on the Shulchan, but when it's baking in the oven, it's not yet Kadosh. And we're going to relate that to a conversation that happens in Tanakh, to a conversation that David HaMelech has in the city of Novi HaKohanim, because at some point he had to eat Lechem HaPanim in order to survive. So there was some sort of conversation about that Lechem HaPanim, and we're going to see how perhaps each of the Shitos derived their Shita from that pasuk. But then the Gemara is going to say, no, that conversation is not really relevant to this discussion. Then we're going to have a long Mishnah on Tzadi Vav Amar Aleph, which is going to discuss the preparation of the Chavite Kohen Gadol, where exactly the different steps of the preparation were done. Also, the measurements of the Lechem HaPanim, how exactly they fit onto the Shulchan, how big were they, how wide, how long and how wide and long was the Shulchan, and also the supports of the Lechem HaPanim, what kept the Lechem HaPanim standing. The weight of the upper breads should have crushed the lower breads, so how exactly that worked out. The Gemara is going to bring us the source that all menachos had to be baked in a kli shareis, and it's going to tell us the height to which the Shulchan could be mekadesh, because the Shulchan wasn't all that high, but when you pile up Lechem HaPanim all the way six and six high, so how high was that actually above the surface of the Shulchan that was Mekadesh? And that's going to lead us into a whole discussion about what the Shulchan exactly looked like, where the Misgeres around the Shulchan was, and did that take up some of the height? Did other things also take height on top of the surface of the Shulchan? And on Amabez, we're also going to talk about why the Shulchan was Mekabel Tuma. Normally a Kliyetz, that's also Ilanachas. You have a Kliyetz that's never ever meant to be moved, so it's not going to be Mekabel Tuma. So we're going to have two possibilities of why the Shulchan is Mekabel Tuma. Either it was not Asui Lenachas, or it's not a Kliyet. Those are the two possibilities. So not Asui Lenachas, we're going to have to show when it was ever really moved, and not a Kliyet. Well, why isn't it a Kliyet? Because it's not entirely made out of wood, it's Mitzupa Zahav. So what role does a Tzipoy have? Does the plating, yeah, the plating have on a Kli? Does that change the status of the Kli? And that has big nafkaminas in terms of Tevilas Kalim on China that's glazed and things like that. What? You
can't plate wood.
You can't plate wood?
No, I know. It's a little bit of a thicker piece of metal that will cover it.
Yeah, so not plating, or whatever you'd call it then. Whatever that thicker piece of... A coating. Okay, so what...
Plating is a coating, but you can't coat wood with metal. You have to be a separate piece.
Ah, I see. Okay. Oh, so that would make a big difference then, because then you're saying it's more likely that would be considered metal rather than wood. Okay, very good. So let's see. So Bez Hashem, we'll get to it when we get to it. So let's start 3-4 lines before the lines get wide on Daf Tzadi Hei and Beis. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Kol Ma'asehen Bifnim. Rabbi Yehuda says all the Ma'asehen of the Lechem HaPanim and the Shtei Lechem, the Lisha, the Aricha, the Afia, it was all done Bifnim. And Rabbi Shimon says no, La Olam Aviragil Omer Shtei Lechem. Right, that was Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon said that no, you should always get in the habit of saying that the Shtei Lechem and the Lechem HaPanim are kosher not only in the Azar but even in Beis Pagi. And Beis Pagi meant even up until the Chomos Yerushalayim. Now, just to get clear before we see the Gemara, the reason that Rabbi Yehuda holds that the Lechem HaPanim has to be Bifnim is because he holds that the Tanur is Mekadesh, so you can't bake it on any day other than Shabbos, because if you would bake it on Erev Shabbos, it would already become Kadosh on Erev Shabbos. By the time Shabbos rolls around, it's already Pasul Bilina. Whereas Rabbi Shimon holds that the Afiyas Lechem HaPanim is Kosher even Bachutz, because he holds that the Tanur is not Mekadesh, and therefore you have to bake it on Erev Shabbos, because if it can be baked on Erev Shabbos, then it's not going to be Docha Shabbos. You're not going to be allowed to bake it on Shabbos. Some Rabbi Avo Barkanu Shnei and Mikra Echadarshu. Both Rabbi and Rabbi Shimon darshan from the same Pasuk. The Pasuk describes David HaMelech running away from Shaul to Nov Ir HaKohanim. After David killed Goliath, Shaul began, of course, to become very jealous of David. He started to hate David. He wanted to kill David, and David sensed it. So he gave, there were reasons that it was pretty obvious to sense. When the arrows were flying out of his head, that probably would have been a good indication. So he gave a simon to Yonasan how to know if Shaul in fact wants to kill him. And after Yonasan made it very clear that yes, my father wants to kill you, and he let David know that, so David had to run away. So he ran to Novir Kohanim, where the Mishkan was, and he met Achimelech the Kohen Gadol, who had no idea that Shaul was trying to kill his own son-in-law, was trying to kill David. David was a national hero, and David said, "Oh, I'm here in a shlichus of the Melech." Sometimes there are people that have issues in the family, and they present, you know, to the public like everything is just wonderful. Yeah, no problem. I'm doing the shlichus of the Melech. So he asked that for 5 loaves of bread, and Achimelech said that we don't have any lechem chulin. All we have is lechem apanim. So the Gemara is going to discuss the conversation that ensues between David HaMelech and Achimelech, Kohen Gadol, about this lechem apanim. So the Kohanim, so David HaMelech said to the Kohanim about the lechem apanim, v'hu derechol af ki ayom yikdash pakeli. So each of the Tanaim understand that differently. Rabbi Yehuda Savar b'chol ashkechinu d'ka'afalei, he found that they were baking it on Erev Shabbos, meaning David HaMelech saw what the Kohanim were doing. They were baking lechem apanim on Erev Shabbos. So amalu, so David said to the Kohanim, derechol ka'afisulei, you're baking it on a weekday. You have to realize that when you bake the lechem upon him, it's becoming kadosh in the oven. So if salebelina, so you're doing the wrong thing by baking on Erev Shabbos. You leave it over till Shabbos, it's going to be pasul belina. You're supposed to bake this on Shabbos. So that's the pasuk that shows that the tanur is mekadosh the lechem, and therefore the baking is docha Shabbos. That's the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon Savar b'Shabbos rechshkin d'kafulei. No, David found them actually baking lechem upon him on Shabbos, but it, because they assumed that the tanur is mekadesh the lechem, so they were baking on Shabbos, so that it shouldn't become pasul belina. So Amar Lahu, so David HaMelech said to them in a sarcastic tone, "Lo derechol beYisulim Avdei? Don't you need to bake it on a weekday?" I mean, he wasn't saying this is what you're doing; he's saying this is what you ought to be doing. You should be baking it on a weekday, not on Shabbos. Midi tanur mekadesh? What, you think that tanur is mekadesh the lechem before you put it on the shulchan? Now only the shulchan of the mekadesh, only the shulchan is mekadesh lechem apanim, and therefore you need to be baking this on Erev Shabbos. So that's how Rabbi Shimon reads the pasuk. Says Gemara, mimat zamer de b'shas afi ashkechinu. Well, wait a second. The whole conversation, does it make sense that when David HaMelech found them, he found them during the baking of the lechem apanim? Vaksiv, the psukim go on to say, vayitin lo hakohen kodesh kilo yesham lechem kiim lechem apanim amusarim lefnei Hashem, that the kohen gave David the lechem apanim because he didn't have anything else other than the lechem apanim. Ella might derechol de kamelu. No, what did David mean when he said derechol? It could have been that he found them while they were actually baking. Hachi kamulei. The Kohanim said to David when he asked for lechem, lech lechem kiim lechem apanim musar lefnei Hashem. I'm sorry, we don't have any regular bread. We only have lechem apanim. So David responded, lo mi bayehai de kiim de nafaklei mimi ila derecholhu. You don't even need to tell me. It's not even a shaila. It's obvious that this bread, which is already derechalu, because it's already been removed from the shulchan and already became mutar lekohanim, so there is no isser me'ila in eating such bread. So certainly someone in my situation where I'm desperate and I'm hungry and I'm going to die if I don't eat, certainly someone in my situation is allowed to eat such lechem. Elafilu heichnami da yom mikadish bakeli havalei delechal. But I'll go even a step further. I would say even the new lechem that's being arranged on the shulchan today and is subject to me'ilah, I should be able to eat because mesukanu, because I'm dangerously ill. And when a person is dangerously ill, they could violate anything. They're allowed to eat anything. So David was saying at pikuach nefesh, because he was dangerously ill, achzo bulmus, he was seized by this bulmus, which is when a person is, the Gemara in Maseches Yuma tells us, Mishnah Maseches Yuma tells us that if a person is achzo bulmus, you're allowed to be ma'achilo b'yom ha'kipurim, because it's considered pikuach nefesh. So this pikuach nefesh, so I'm allowed to eat. So says Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, the Gemara pligi, and therefore Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon were not arguing in the taitch of the pasuk, because the pasuk had nothing to do with whether the oven is mekadesh or the shulchan is mekadesh. No, they're arguing in their own traditions. They each had a tradition whether the shulchan is mekadesh or the oven is mekadesh. Dekanami, and it's meduyak to assume that they were arguing in their own traditions. Dekatani, Rabbi Shimon Omer, li olam av Rabbi Ragil Omer, Shtei Alechem Lechem Apan Mksheres Bazar Mksheres Abes Pagi Shmamina, that Rabbi Shimon didn't just say a Shita, he said, Bialam Rabbi Ragil Omer, person has to get in the habit of saying over the Shita. Why was he so careful that people should be in the habit of saying it? Because you're not going to find any Pasuk to back it up. You're not going to find anywhere that's going to show you an indication through the Midrash Shatar and Dresh Ben that this is the Alecha, so you're not going to be able to reinvent it on your own. You're only going to be able to know it if you're Ragil Omer, because it is Gemara, it is a tradition. Now, the couple of points about this David HaMelech Sugya in the Mishnah HaMelech in the Sefer of Drush in the Prashas Drachim asked the Kasha, so what did David HaMelech say? Because I'm a Cholesh Yesh Basakana, that's why you're allowed to feed this to me. What's the Chiddush? Of course, a Cholesh Yesh Basakana is allowed to violate any Isser in the Torah. So a big Chiddush, you need a shear from David HaMelech to explain to you why he's allowed to eat it, because Cholesh Yesh Basakana, meaning lo mi bayi, I'm allowed to violate that which is no longer subject to Mila, Ela Afilu. Of course, what do you mean Afilu? So the Prashas Drachim has a very fascinating answer that's really totally, really connects to many, many different inyanim. He points out that the Vikuach, he suggests that the whole discussion between Achimelech and David was, what's the more Kal Isser? That Achimelech said, look, we have Lechem Apanim, we also have Truma, but you're not a Kohen. A non-Kohen is not allowed to eat Truma. So that's a more Kal Isser than eating Kachim Betuma, because it's Bekares, right? So meaning Truma is only B'misa B'dei Shemayim, whereas eating Kachim Betuma is Bekares. So that's why David HaMelech said, no, we're Tahorim, and therefore it's better to eat the Lechem Apanim, because it's not eating Kachim Betuma. You might have said that that's only by Lechem Apanim, that already Karvu Matirov, that they already were Makti the Bezichim, and therefore it's not subject to Me'ila, so you only have the Isra V'Achila L'Zarim, but Lechem Apanim before you Makti the Bezichim, meaning that was still Mesudar al HaShulchan, that aside from the Isra of Zarus, there's also an Isra Me'ila, so you would assume that it's better to violate one Isra Chamur rather than to violate two Isurim Kalim. So granted, a non-Kohen eating Truma is worse than either of these two Isurim, of a Zar eating the Lechem Apanim, or of the violation of Me'ila. So granted, it's a worse Isur, but this is two Isurim versus one Isur. So that's what David HaMelech is saying. Better to eat the Lechem Apanim, even though there's multiple Isurim, aside from the Isur Zarus, because rather than eating Truma, which is B'chi of Misa L'Zarim. So what their whole discussion was, quantity versus quality in Isurim. That Achimelech was saying, look, better to do one big Isur than to violate a bunch of smaller Isurim. And David HaMelech was saying, no, better to violate a bunch of smaller Isurim rather than do one big Isur. What's the basis of this whole discussion? The basis of this whole discussion is a Ran in Maseches Yuma. The Ran quotes from the Ravid in Dalan Beis, Midap Erif, in Maseches Yuma. Let's say you have a person who's a Chol HaShiyash B'Sakana and they need to eat, let's say the doctor says, you need to eat meat. And the problem is, it's Shabbos, they need to eat meat, and the only meat available to them, they open up the fridge, all they see is Nevela meat in the fridge. But they remember, oh, I have a cow in the backyard. So their two options are, they could shecht the cow and they'll have kosher meat on Shabbos, or they could eat the Nevela meat that's in the fridge. Now, every kezayis of Nevela that you eat is a lav, it's a lo saseh, shechita, shechting cow on Shabbos, chiv skila. That, now we're talking about something much more severe. So it's obvious, you'd eat the Nevela meat. Says the Ran in the name of the Ravid, what if you have to eat 10 kezayisim of it? What if you have to eat a lot of it, a high quantity of it? Each kezayis of Nevela you eat is another iser lav. You shech the cow, it's only one iser skila. Better to violate one iser skila than to violate multiple iser lavin. That Ran caused Rav Yosef Engel to write a whole essay of 22 examples where you find quantity versus quality in halacha. We have the famous Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnayos and Pirkei Avos, Hakalafi Rov HaMasa. He says, yeah, we talk about Hakalafi Rov HaMasa, not Hakalafi Godel HaMasa, because we're more interested in quantity. If you have $100, that the Rambam says, if you have $100 to give to tzedakah, you get more out of giving a dollar 100 times than you do out of making a big impact with $100. $1,000 one time with one big gift. So that's so he has many sources like this. So we have to add this to Rav Yosef Engel's list, that this sugya, this discussion between David and Achimelech, according to the Parashas Drachim, is actually a discussion about quantity versus quality in Isurim. The other issue that the Achronim deal with over here is that David HaMelech was saying, I'm a sukkah, and since it's dangerous for me, I'm therefore allowed to eat the lechem apanim. There is a sugya Maseches Baba Kamma where the Gemara asks, Mal latzu atzmo b'mamon chavero? Is a person allowed to save his own life using someone else's mamon? Meaning, are you allowed to steal or destroy someone's property in order to save your life? There is a machlokas Rashi tells us how to understand that Gemara, but it's at least possible that the Gemara is saying that a regular person is not allowed to save his life by destroying someone else's property. That even though we're used to thinking that there are only three Yaharik Valyavars, Avod Zor Gilereshvich Zdamim, it could be that stealing is also Yaharik Valyavar. That's Shitas Rashi, but Bekam Adav Samach. So it's machlokas Rishonim, I don't understand that, but that's the way some Rishonim understand that sugya. So then the question becomes, the Achronim say, what's Tavon HaMelech's point? Yeah, so what? You're Mesukan. You can't steal from Hagdish. This belongs, this is Lechem Kodesh. This being Matzal HaTzmo, worse than Mamon Chavero. It's Mamon Gavoa. It's a Mamon that belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're not allowed to steal from HaKadosh Baruch Hu in order to save your life. So there are two ways to resolve it. The most simple and obvious way to resolve it is that Sugyum Baba Kamma was also about David HaMelech. David HaMelech, there were plishtim hiding out in the fields, and David HaMelech wanted to burn down the fields in order to expose the enemy, and the fields didn't belong to him. And he asked, he sent the Shailim, and the answer is, you're not allowed to be Maslas Mamon Chavero, but Ata Melech Ata. You're a king, and a king can do whatever he wants, and that, you don't have to worry about it. So David HaMelech was an exception to the rule. So it could be that the David HaMelech, as was already destined to be the king, and was already chosen to be the king, even though he was not yet acting as king, it could be that already here he was able to be Matzal Atzmo b'Mamon Chavero. And the other possibility, which is also, I guess, somewhat obvious, is that this isn't Mamon Chavero, meaning as much as Mi'ila is, in a sense, stealing, but stealing from Kodesh Baruch is not the same as Ben Adam L'Chavero. There's probably something about the Ben Adam L'Chavero element of destroying someone else's property, and the disappointment the person has when you destroy their property, and how crippling it is for them when you destroy their property, that obviously doesn't apply to Hagdish. Kodesh Baruch Hu is not hurt in any way, he's not affected in any way. It's just a matter of whether we did the right thing or not. So it could be that that whole idea of Matzal Mamon Chavero doesn't apply to Mamon Hagdish. Okay, new Mishnah now. Says the Mishnah, Chavite Kohen Gadol Lishasma Erichasma Afiyasin Bifnim. The Chavite Kohen Gadol had to be prepared and baked everything in the Azara. V'dochas is a Shabbos, and those Malachas are all Docha Shabbos. Because it had to be done in the Azara, it all became Kadosh in the Klisharis. It would be possible Lina if you didn't do it on Shabbos, but the grinding of the grain and the sifting of the flour, that could have been done in Erev Shabbos, would never become possible Belina, so that it doesn't become Kaddosh through those processes, and therefore it's not Docha the Shabbos. Klal Amar Rabbi Akiva, Kam Lach Shev Shal Asosim Erev Shabbos, Eina Docha Shabbos. Anything you could have done on Erev Shabbos, you're not allowed to do such a Melach on Shabbos. Veshiyev Shal Asosim Erev Shabbos, Docha the Shabbos. But if it's something you could not have done on Erev Shabbos, then it's going to be Docha Shabbos. Kol HaMenach Yesh Ben Maisa Kli Bifnim, Vein Ben Maisa Kli Bachutz. All menachos, you do the lisha and the aricha, dafka and the klisharis, if you're doing it in the Azara. But if you're doing it outside of the Azara, then you don't need to do it in a kli at all. Shtei alechem, now in terms of the measurements of the shtei alechem and how exactly you fit onto the shulchan, shtei alechem arkon shiva tvachim, v'rachman arba tvachim. In its natural state, it was 7 tvachim long, each loaf, and 4 tvachim wide, v'karnoseim arba etzba'os. And the corners of the dough were 4 etzba'os. Lechem apanim, when it comes to lechem apanim, it's different. It's arka, I'm sorry, the shtei lechem doesn't go on the shulchan, that's going to be the lechem apanim. But the shtei lechem, that's the measurements of the bread. Lechem apanim, orka nasara tvachim, or 10 tvachim long, rachman chamisha tvachim, 5 tvachim wide, the karnos of sheva etzba'os. And the karnos of the bread, the corners of the bread, are 7 etzba'os. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, shalotita, in order that you shouldn't make a mistake, and you should remember the dimensions of the shtei lechem versus lechem apanim, he said, I made up a mnemonic for you. Zadad Yahaz. Zadad is Zayin Tvachim Orchem, Dal Tvachim Rochvam, Dal Etzbolus Karnosehem, and that's the Shealechem, and for Lechem Aponim, it's Yahaz. Yud Orko, Hey Rochvo, Zayin Karnosev. Says that's how the Shidum Gwetzes points out, it's not a coincidence that it's Rabbi Yehuda who comes up with the Simin. This is Rabbi Yehuda's thing. This is what he likes to do. He likes to come up with the Simanim, Tetzach, Adash, Piachav. That's Rabbi Yehuda. That's what he likes to do. So Tveris Shol says, you know, very nice that you want to come up with the Simanim. It's absolutely useless to me, this Simon. Because unless these words mean something, then I don't know how you can remember it. You can remember it's Yahaz and not Zahaz or Vahaz. Or like unless there's like an actual word that you're... It's a terrible mnemonic otherwise. You're just plugging in random letters to each other and it would be so easy to confuse. So that's what the Tveris Shal says. It has to be that there's an actual reference to words. And he points out that Zadad is a Simon for the Shtei Lechem, because it's like two words, ze dad, that this is like a dad, a breast that one nurses from, because from there, yonek Yisrael l'sa'aretz avas chalav u'dvash. It's from the Shtei Lechem that we are yonek the eretz avas chalav u'dvash. The Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah that they would bring the before the Shtei Lechem on Shavuos, so they would bring Havi Lufanach, which Baruch would say, bring to me the Shtei Lechem on Shavuos, k'dei she'yisbaruch u'lechem so that the Peros Ilan will have bracha, meaning so that the land will maximize its output. We're going to be yonik from the land only when we bring the Shtei Lechem. And what's Yahaz with the Lechem Apanim? He says, Hozim Shochvim, Yeshayo Perek Nunvav, that the Lechem Apanim was different than other Menachos because it was Shochiv al Shulchan the entire week and never became Pasul Belina. So that's the idea that these words actually mean something. It's not just a random collection of letters that happen to be thrown together. Ben Zoma that now Omer, Venasat al Shulchan Lechem Apanim Lefanai Tamid, Lechem Panim. The idea that the Lechem Apanim had karnayim and it had defanos, as we're about to see, karnayim we already mentioned that it had some sort of corners, and we're about to see that it also had defanos. There were side walls of the Lechem Apanim. That's evident in the pasuk because it calls it Lechem Panim lefanai tamid. Panim implies that there's a face to the bread, so it was a very intricate shape that this bread had, so much so that some of the Achronim even suggest that if it was shaped in such an intricate way that the fact that you're breaking it apart on Shabbos may be a raya whether you're allowed to break apart foods that have letters engraved on the foods, because this would also be like a mochik, because it's a picture, it's a whole piece of art, it's not just a loaf. So that's what some of the Achronim bring a raya. I mean, it would be different, let's say, than like a birthday cake that has icing on top of it. The discussion is, what about when the shape itself, when the food itself is in the shape of letters, or has engraved on it the shapes of letters, or you know, on the food, or embossed on the food, the shapes of letters. So some of the Achronim think that you could bring a raya from Lechem Apanim that you're allowed to do that. Not so clear that it's exactly the same, but that's what they it at least gets the discussion going in terms of the Lechem Apanim. So now, how does the Lechem Apanim fit on the Shulchan? HaShulchan Orko Asara, there's a machlokas Rabbi Dan Rameir about how big the Shulchan was. How could there be a machlokas? It's beferish in the Chumash. How big the Shulchan was? Yeah, the Chumash describes everything in terms of Amos. It doesn't describe things in terms of Tfachim. So there's a machlokas Rabbi Dan Rameir, when we describe the Amos of Kalim in the Mikdash, in the Mishkan, are those Amos pas chamisha Tfachim or Amos pas shisha Tfachim? Sometimes an Amma is five Tefach Amma, sometimes it's a six Tefach Amma. So a Shulchan, one Shita is, Rabbi Yudah's Shita is, I think, that Orko Asara v'rachbo chamisha, that the Shulchan, two Amos long meant ten Tfachim long, and one Amma wide meant five Tfachim wide. Lechem Apanim Orko Asara Rachbo Chamisha, which happened to have been the exact size of the Lechem Apanim, which would have been great if there's only one Seder of Lechem Apanim on the Shulchan. Problem is, you have to put two Sedarim of Lechem Apanim next to each other, each one six loaves high. So no Ksein Orko Keneged Rachbo Shel Shulchan. So you put the length of the Lechem Apanim across the width of the Shulchan, which would mean that you have hanging over the edges 2.5 tvachim on each side, right? The middle 5 tvachim where the shulchan is the middle 5 tvachim of the loaf, and then 2.5 tvachim on each side. Now, obviously, it would never last like that. It would just fall right off of the side. So the kofel, tvachayim umechza mikan, tvachayim umechza mikan, they would actually fold up the dough, lift up the dough to make it that there's a 2.5 tefach height that the dough goes when they lifted up the sides of the dough. Nimtza arko mamali rachma shulchan. Now the length of the lechem apanim filled the entire width, but no more than the entire width of the shulchan. Div Rabbi Yehuda, that's Rabbi Yehuda Shitra. Meir Omer, hashulchan arko shneimas of rachma shisha. He says, no, the shulchan was 12 tvachim long and 6 tvachim wide. Lechem apanim arko asar of rachma chamisha. But you're right that the lechem apanim was 10 tvachim long and 5 tvachim wide. So, nosi an arko keneged rachbo shel shulchan. Again, you would arrange the length of the lechem apanim across the width of the shulchan. The kofel tfachayim mikan u tfachayim mikan. So, you'd have the five tfachim, the six tfachim rather, of the shulchan that the lechem apanim is sitting on. But since the lechem apanim is 10 tfachim long, you have an overlap of 2 tfachim on each side. So, that's what you had to fold up. You fold it up not 2.5 tfachim, you folded up the sides 2 tfachim high. Tfachayim revach be'emtza, and in between the two sedarim of lechem apanim, since the shulchan was 12 tvachim long and the width of the lechem apanim was only 5 tvachim, so there was an extra 2 tvachim in between the two rows of lechem apanim, kadesh te'aruch min hashevus bem, and that allows air to get in so that the lechem doesn't become moldy. So it needed some air circulation that it shouldn't become moldy. Abishol Omer shama yinosin shnei bezicha levona shel lechem apanim. In those two tvachim that were between these ma'arachos, they would put 2 spoons of levona of the lechem apanim. So I'm low. So the Chum said to Abishol, very kvar nemar, v'nasata ala ma'areches levona zaka. It says that the levona is supposed to be ala ma'areches. Doesn't that mean on top of the lechem apanim? What do you mean in between the lechem apanim? That's not al. I'm low. Very kvar nemar. He says, well, you have to look at the way the word al is used in Chumash. Pasuk says, for example, the degel machne Ephraim letzivol son was v'alav Mata Menashe. That on top of the Machne Ephraim was the Mata Menashe. You think that means that the mamish stood on top of the Machne Ephraim? It means al b'samuch. It means that it was nearby. So here also, b'zicha levona being al amareches doesn't mean on top of. It means in close proximity to. So it was in those 2 tvachim of space in between the two arrangements of the loaves. V'arbas nifet shel zav ha'yisham v'tzolin mirashehen she'isom chumem shnayim l'seydezeh u'shnayim l'seydezeh. They had these 4 boards of gold that were that had holes in the sides of these boards to allow for sticks to go into these holes to separate between the loaves of bread, and these boards went up alongside the shulchan to support the lechem apanim. Ve'esrim u'shmona kadim, and there were 28 little poles, kechatzi kana chalul, arba asul seidezeh, arba asul seidezeh, and there were 14 for each of the 2 sedarim of the lechem apanim. There was 14 for these 6 loaves and 14 for the other 6 loaves. And lo sidur, and the way they would put those poles into the holes in the sideboards to hold them steady, and those poles would go in between the loaves, the height of the loaves. So to sort of separate the loaves a little bit. Lo sidur kanim lo nitilasam docha shabbos. The sidur of the kanim, the arranging of these poles and the removing of these poles could not be done on Shabbos. What's the problem? So Rashi says that the problem is it's near a kibona v'sosir on Shabbos. Rashi not here, but on Tzadi Zayin Amud Aleph, that it looks like you're being bona v'sosir on Shabbos. Tosav there is going to say it's a shvus, that it's a tiltul shalol tzorach. So even though generally ain't shvus b'migdash, there's some exceptions to the rule where we're going to make even a shvus in the migdash. So it's not going to be docha Shabbos. El nichnas me erev Shabbos, you go into the heichal on erev Shabbos v'shomto, and you remove the kanim that were there all week separating the lechem, v'nosna la'arko shel shulchan, and you put it on the floor of the heichal along the length of the shulchan, meaning running east-west. And on Shabbos, when they would be Masadah the Maracha, the new Lechem Apanim, you'd be Masadah the Lechem Apanim, the new Lechem Apanim on Shabbos, you would not put the Kanim in. You'd wait till Motzai Shabbos, and then you'd slide the Kanim in between the breads. And that's okay. You don't have to worry that the whole point of the Kanim was to separate the bread so that the top ones wouldn't crush the bottom ones and to allow for some air to get in between so it shouldn't get moldy. All of that will, well, the Kanim was so it shouldn't get moldy. The sideboards was so it shouldn't crush. So the sideboards are still going to be there, and the kanim that are not there for that short amount of time, it's not going to get moldy. So you can leave it for a few hours here, a few hours there. It's not going to be the end of the world. All the kelim in Mikdash ran lengthwise, you know, east west in the base of Mikdash. That's not true of all the kelim, because the aron was orchal l'rachbo shalbayis. That we're going to see later on daf sadi ches, that the badei aron were orchal l'orchal shalbayis, and the badim right would stick out of the paroches. You would see it protruding from the paroches. The badim were l'rachbo shalbayis. So it's not exactly true that it always worked out that way with all the kelim, so, but everything except for the aron. Tosus points out that our Mishnah is assuming, like Rebbe, who holds that the Shulchan and the Menorah were Orchon L'Orchon Shel Bayis. Rav Elazar Reb Shimon disagrees. He holds that it was Orchon L'Rachbo Shel Bayis. Okay, so that's a Machlokas as well, but our Mishnah assumes that all the Kelim are Orchon L'Orchon Shel Bayis, or almost all the Kelim at least. Says the Gemara, Kol Menachos Yesh Behen Ma'ase Kli. All Menachos are made in a Kli Sharis Mibifnim. If you're doing it Mibifnim, meaning anything that's Mibifnim requires a Kli Sharis. So Shalom as Rebbe Minayin, how do you know that Zumi? How do you know that the menachos require kli sharis? Amalem arei omer vayomer elai zeh makom asher yivashlu sham kohanim es ha'ashem es ha'chatas asher yofu es ha'minchal vilti yotzi el ha'chatzar ha'chitzona. Yecheskel was given a tour in during Golos Bavel on the 14th in the 14th year of Korban Bayis Rishon. HaKadosh Baruch Hu appeared to Yecheskel in a Mar Nevua, and he took him on a tour of the Beis Hamikdash. He brought him to Eretz Yisrael in this Mar Nevua, not physically, but in this Mar Nevua, he brought him to Eretz Yisrael and he gave him a whole tour of the Beis Hamikdash. So this is one of the things that's described in the Nevua of what Yecheskel has shown. But you see that the pasuk describes that mincha dumya da asham mechatas, that in the same breath we mention mincha asham mechatas. So in what sense are they similar? Ma asham mechatas tutin kli, just like asham mechatas require a kli for the bishul, because it says asher yivashlu, and there's no bishul without a kli. Af mincha nami tutin a kli. So too the mincha, which requires baking, requires a kli, and once it requires a kli for the afia, the stomach requires a kli for the lisha and the aricha as well. Hashulchan orko asar. We then said, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the shulchan is 10 tefachim long. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan, the divrei omer tefachayim mechtsa kofel, nimtsa shulchan mekadish chamisha asar tefachim lemaila. Simple math. If you hold it, they had to fold up the sides of the lechem upon him 2.5 tefachim high, and there were 6 lechem upon him, one on top of the other. So 6 times 2.5 means 15 tefachim high above the surface of the shulchan is where the lechem upanim went, which means that the shulchan has the ability to be mekadesh up until 15 tefachim above the surface of the shulchan. L'divrei ha'omer tefachayim kofel, but if you hold that, like Rav Meir, that they would only fold it up 2 tefachim high, nimtsa shulchan mekadesh 12 tefachim lemaila. So 6 times 2 is 12, and the shulchan is only mekadesh 12 tefachim off the surface, above the surface of the shulchan. Frankly, Gemara, but wait, that's not exact, because ve'yika kanim, aren't there these poles in between the lechem? So doesn't that add to the height that's above the surface of the shulchan? Says Marno, kanim shukui meshakalahu. The kanim were like sunken in to the loaves themselves, so it didn't add any height. Says Marno, my time. Well, why are the kanim there? Mishumi yafushe lechem. It's to allow air to circulate between the loaves so that there's no so that it doesn't get moldy. So sof kamiapish lechem. If you're going to say that the kanim sink into the loaves and there's no air that could actually get through, so then they're not doing anything. Then it's still, the bread is still going to get moldy. The magvile porta. No, it's mostly sunken in, but there's just a little bit of the kanim that creates just like this mashu of space between the lechem. So says Mar, okay, but vayika u porta. But still, our numbers are not exact then. It's not 15 tefachim above, 12 tefachim above, because you still have that little bit. So it's like, yeah, but it's not a tefach, so we're not going to count that little bit as anything. Bezichin, so ask the Gemara, what about the bezichin that they would put on the lechem above the height of the lechem? Meaning, if you hold it, the bezichin levona didn't go in between, but when on top of the lechem, doesn't that have to become kadosh? Also, doesn't that add to the surface above, to the level above the surface of the shulchan that becomes kadosh? So it's more begavi the lechem of yasvi. No, the bezichin, even if you held they were on the lechem, they were inside the lechem. The lechem had like this base kibbel almost, because you folded up the walls, so they were on the inside. The bahadi lechem avu kaimi. Since they were, so the height of the bezichin was only up to the height of the lechem. It didn't protrude above the height of the lechem at all. Vayika kronos. What about the kronos of the lechem that lechora protruded up? Kronos legavid lechem kayflu. No, they were folded inside also. The lechem alayu nachle, and the lechem on top of it would rest on the kronos. So the kronos didn't add any height either. Says Gemara Vayika Maskarta. What about the maskaris of the shulchan, which was one tefach that was above the surface of the shulchan itself? So Kamandiyam Maskarta lemato haisa. No, we're assuming that the maskaris was actually placed beneath the actual surface of the shulchan. So when we say that the shulchan was mekadesh that which was above it, it's just that it's elevated a little bit, but it's mekadesh that which is above it. Kamandiyam Maskarta lemalo haisa. If you assume that the maskaris was actually lemala, then pruktayavim parkada. Then you have to assume that the mascaras was sort of like angled in such a way where it had some depth to it, that it was flipped, let's say, like upside down, so that the lechem actually still went inside the mascaras. The mascaras was just that, it was a frame, it was like a ledge. But the lechem was inside the ledge; it was still on the surface of the shulchan. That's what pruktayavim parkada means. Kidetanya. Rabbi Yossi Omer lo yasham snifin ela maskarto shel shulchan mamed ses alechem. The Rabbi Yossi holds you didn't even need the sideboards to support the lechem, because the maskeres, this frame around the shulchan itself, supported the lechem. And Amrullah, the Chum said to Rabbi Yossi, maskarto lemata haisa, they disagreed. They thought that the maskeres was below the surface of the shulchan, in which case it's not at all going to support the lechem. But if you hold it's above, you could say that it actually went around the lechem, as opposed to the lechem going on top of the maskeres. If you assume that the mascaras was lemata, tavla mishapeches temeya, it would turn out that if you have a board of wood that's smooth on both sides and could be used equally on both sides, even though there's no actual base kibul, it's mekabel tuma, because we learn from the shulchan. The shulchan also was this. You could flip it on either side. The tavla that could be flipped on either side, and the shulchan is mekabel tuma. And divrei omer maskarta lemaila hisa. If you hold the maskaras was lemaila, so the daf of the shulchan had like a base kibul, so then tavla mishapeches tibaylach. Then you don't yet know what the halacha would be with a flat board that could be used on both sides, because the shulchan wasn't that. The shulchan actually had a base kibul if you held that the maskeres was lemaila. So says Gemara, one thing we're assuming in this whole thing is that mechal the shulchan bar kibul itumahu. We're assuming that the shulchan is in fact mekabel tumah. Says Gemara, why should that be? Any kliyetz that's never supposed to be moved is not mekabel tuma. So why should the shulchan be mekabel tuma? Who's ever moving it? So my taima, where do we know that a kliyetz is not that the shulchan is not a kliyetz? I'm sorry, that a kliyetz asu lenachas is not mekabel tuma. Because in order for a kliyetz to become tameh, it has to be similar to a sack, because the pasuk says mikol kliyetz obeged oaro sack. So we darshin mas sack metaltam alvereikon, just like a bag is something that you can carry when it's both full or empty. Otherwise, it would be the worst bag ever. The whole point of a bag is that it provides mobility to carry things from one place to another. So just like a sack is something that's metaltam alvereikon, afkol metaltam alvereikon. So too a kliyetz. is only going to be mekabel tuma if it's metaltel mali v'rekon. But if it's also l'nachas, it's not metaltel at all. So shulchan ami metaltel mali v'rekon. So the Gemara says, you're right, but the shulchan is moved. It's metaltel mali v'rekon. Kidereish lakish. Tam reish lakish. Maidu ksival shulchan atahar. Tar mechal diyika tamei. The implication is that the shulchan could become tamei. El melamich magbin also lo ole regalim, because they would lift up the entire shulchan to the ole regalim. Umarim balechem v'omrim lehem ru'uchi baskim l'fnei amakam. And they would show the lechem afanim to the Olei Regalim and say, "Look how much Hashem loves you." Kedivrei Rabbi Shimon Levi, Dami Rabbi Shimon Levi, Neis Gadol Nasab Lechem Afanim, Siluko Kisiduro, Shenemra Lasum Lechem Chom Biyomi Lakcho. So they would show, "Look, it's still fresh a week later. Matzah, it's matzah, and it's a tefachai. It's two tefachim. It's still fresh a week later. That's highly unusual. That's a Neis Gadol, and they wanted all the Olei Regalim to be able to see that Neis. There is a minag that many Hasidim have that they call the Shabbos after Shavuos Nach Shavuos, that they refer to the Shabbos after Shavuos as still being like a little bit of a Shavuos. So the acronym explained, it's based on this Gemara, because what does it mean that they would show the Olei Regalim? When are you showing the Olei Regalim? Right when you're about to take the Lechem off, which is on Shabbos. Bishlam Sukkos, Pesach. There's a Shabbos in the middle of Sukkos and Pesach. You're showing it to them. What about Shavuos? It must be that everyone stuck around to see the Neis for the Shabbos after Shavuos. And that's why Dafka, the Shabbos after Shavuos, has a certain specialness to it. Okay, Beth Shem, we'll continue that discussion of the Tum of the Shulchan tomorrow.